Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to season two of the Digital Fireside. Luke, we made it a whole season, 16 episodes.
Hey, that's the radio sound.
Season three, we will have the soundboard that we can use to better.
Shout out to our Patreons.
Yeah. Shout out to Patreon. Thank you for
the best guys I know.
Subscribe star. But yeah, it's been a hell of a season, Luke. Hell of a season.
It was a fun time.
You know, we went out to L.A. We did DMT with a bunch of porn stars. We did a documentary.
He's saying we. Yeah. They all know it was you.
It was not me.
It was not me. But it was interesting to follow.
Well, we did a lot of really cool stuff, and yeah. We have some interesting pieces that we have our work cut out for us to top this season. And as the political climate starts to heat up more and more, I'm sure we will have plenty to talk about. I was kind of bummed that we picked like October to kind of take that month off because there was a lot of. I really wanted to talk a little bit about the DNC and all that kind of stuff, just with what the hell is going on over there. But Luke, how did you spend your fall? Because we're transitioning pretty quickly into winter now.
Pretty much after the wedding, just kind of scrambled around, not really doing too much. I picked up my bowling game.
Okay.
Got two balls actually, and starting to score way higher. That's about it. About to train a little bit more.
Well, so what are you hitting? Like, what's your?
Oh, like low 200s.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, not great in bowling. I'll be the first to admit it. And
yeah, you had a little incident last time you went, right?
I'm legally not allowed to talk about that.
Oh.
So.
Okay. Just say no one got hurt.
No one got hurt that anyone can prove. So as far as I'm concerned, we are all clear. We're all good to go.
There you go. But, yeah, nothing out of the ordinary. You know, it's only been, a month since our last one?
Yeah. I mean, it's not like super long.
I saw a couple movies, played a couple games, bought a couple games. You know, I just went to work, obviously.
Yeah. I was going to ask, you know, what anything like that stands out to you that you've played or watched or whatnot?
I know you were looking forward to Death Stranding. I never got in the hype about that. I watched reviews about that. But no, none of the games I played. I mean, I picked up Mario & Sonic the other day. That's just, you know, the run-of-the-mill filler game I kind of like to have in my arsenal.
Mario & Sonic?
Olympic Games.
Oh.
You know, okay. It's like when people have, like, Call of Duty or Madden. It's not really like a game they're like, oh, my God, I can't wait for it. It's more like it's filler time, you know.
I got $60. Yeah, so I got to get something
yeah,
I don't, game stuff.
Yeah, that, Luigi's Mansion, you know, spent a lot of time playing Link's Awakening. But mainly Switch games. I mean, a lot PS4 is kind of slowing down nowadays. I mean, Jedi Outcast, not Outcast, Fallen Order is coming out.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited about that. That's like a Dark Souls is. Everyone knows what it is. That's what all the reviews now are saying. It's not what we think it is. It plays a lot like From Software.
Okay. That would be interesting.
And it's very open to where it's not, you know, the level is kind of like God of War, where it's linear when you're in the level, right? There's different pathways and stuff like that. But at the same time, like, you can go fly off to different planets is open world, open galaxy, yeah. But that'll be interesting to see what it actually is. I pre-ordered it, and you know, I'm super stoked for it.
Interesting, because I kind of haven't been following that game at all. I've probably been checked out a lot of Star Wars stuff over the past few years, but I hope it does well. We could probably use a new Star Wars game that's kind of good.
Yeah,
that'd be nice.
The last one was what 2007 or something. I don't
know. No, I mean they had like the Battlefront games, but. Those aren't really good.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like the ones that people like were yeah. Like, oh yeah, that was good. You know, I enjoyed my time playing it.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, but other than that, no, I'm just been kind of slowly going through stuff. What about you?
I've been kind of really into PC gaming the past month or so. And I played a game called Disco Elysium. Elysium, something like that. It is probably, and I don't want to sound hyperbolic here, but it was recommended to me and I ended up going out and getting it and playing it. It's probably one of the most interesting RPGs that I have played in probably this entire decade. It's very good. It's
decade. It's closing out the decade like that.
Yeah. I mean, it is Because this game has been in production, from what I understand, a while, and it has been kind of hit with some delays and that kind of stuff, but they finally put it out, and it's like a Planetscape Torment, which I'm not sure if you've played that game, but it's mm-hmm. an old school isometric, so think like Diablo, kind of where you mm-hmm. have your character in the middle and you watch him run around, RPG that has a ton of dialogue in it. There's a lot of reading involved. So like if you're not into that, you will not like this game because it is it's very meaty. The writing style is very distinct. It's funny. It pops. It doesn't rely too much on flowery language, which is kind of a pet peeve of mine, but I'm only probably 10 hours in or something like that. But you're basically this you're this hard-boiled like detective guy who wakes up. It's a really unique character creation kind of like thing, because there's not so much a character creation tool because you already have a pre-designed character, but you basically go on this insane alcoholic bender, so much so that you forget almost everything about yourself.
Okay.
And you wake up hungover, and depending on the stats that you roll on your character, you can die in the first like 2 or 3 minutes because you wake up hungover in your hotel room. And if you have like low constitution or something like that, and you turn on the lights too much, the shock sends you into cardiac arrest and you die. It's one of those. It's so unique and it's so like grungy. It's like a hard boiled detective, like almost like a BoJack Horseman kind of character that is solving this murder. And you have like all these different thoughts to kind of explore and like help internalize that give you different perspectives in the world. You have different ways to progress through a storyline by asking people. Like it goes so much deeper than beyond just like a Mass Effect game or a Fallout game where it's like, here's the intimidate option. Here's the persuade option. This is more like here because you have high empathy, you can say this. And then because you have high deductive reasoning, you can say this.
It's like a board game.
Yeah. Like, so it basically is, I think the creator was saying that it is like it's the closest approximation to like playing like a Dungeons and Dragons campaign where you could theoretically do like almost anything.
Right. As long as you have the capacity and imagination.
Yeah. And so you're in this like, I want to say like techno. Again, I'm still figuring out the world. Like my guy is one day into his like alcohol withdrawal like nightmare. Okay.
So
or
that takes a place like if you don't have alcohol for a while, does it like?
Okay, no, I'm. I don't know for sure.
That, like, but like this is like super.
I just remembered like my name, and it wasn't because I actually remembered. It's like another character told me it who knew me before I went on this bender. It's so interesting, man. It is so unique, and like
I'll have to check it out. I mean, I probably won't play because I don't play PC. But yeah. I'll definitely look at gameplay and see what it's about.
It is gut-bustingly funny too. Like it is, it's really it's a total gem. It came out of nowhere, and I'm like super into it.
I just think it's interesting that you said there's a lot of reading because
it's a shitload of reading
nowadays. Games definitely don't have reading.
Yeah, they don't make them like this anymore.
They usually have like a pop-up icon or like say like this is how you do this. And that's it, or like just the reading involved. I don't know if this generation
puts up
with the reading. Because I remember like back in the day, the most reading in a video game I did growing up was 100% like Pokemon. And you just go, hey. You never read what Professor Oak had to say.
This is really lengthy. It's to give you another example like of how the intro works or whatnot and like what kind of the tone of the story is. When you first start the game, you basically have this internal narration, and it's not like a narrator. It's not like anything like that. It is literally listed as like your lizard brain, your ancient reptilian brain is like, it's so unique. And you go through like the different stages of cognitiveness, and you eventually like talk to your limbic system, and then you wake up, and then it's you got to check it out. I would definitely highly, highly recommend it to anyone.
That does remind me of a little bit of, because you're talking about how unique it is, two, how just not ridiculous, but like how surprising it is to do certain actions, like even simple actions, you need certain things. So it reminds me of what Death Stranding has been reviewed as. Like you have to walk. Like I don't know if you heard, but like walking is like a challenge. Like
I haven't read anything. I've tried to go into it blind.
You could like sleep. Oh, I'm sorry. But
yeah, I don't want to hear too much about it.
You could literally. Is it on PC?
No, it's coming out on PC later.
It's only on PS4. PS4. Yeah, you don't have one. But they say you could like trip over a rock and there goes all your goods. You know, it's like super hard to walk.
I don't know. I will follow Kojima into the gates of hell at this point. I love his.
That's
unique.
True. Anyone who says F you to all my big money as a developer, first of all, game developers don't get paid that much, right?
Yeah.
But if you're one of those legendary ones like him, sure. But walk away from that money, say F you to the big company who already kind of let you do free reign for everything, but the one time they say no, you're like, you know what, screw you. I don't need you. I'm going to start my own and then have the first game be some type of walking simulator.
I love it.
That's just the biggest middle finger to anybody. You know, I don't know. It's just kind
of... Metal Gear Solid 2 is like the craziest game I've ever played. And it's like my favorite game just because of its like meta commentary. And I that Kojima guy, he's got a lot of... he's got a lot of things to say. I'll say that much.
Yeah, you know Conan O'Brien is in Death Stranding?
No. That's...
I only saw that because it's on, I was watching Conan and he visited Kojima Productions and he got in the game.
Well, whatever.
You get like this otter suit.
What? As long as it doesn't beat me over the head.
You wear an otter suit in order to like float in the river.
Again, no context, any of this stuff. So I'm looking forward to it. It'll be fun to play. I'm trying to think what else I've been
up to
picking away at. There's a lot of stuff. Play the Outer Worlds a little bit. That new Fallout kind of game. It's pretty good. I like it so far. I haven't played a whole lot of it, but it's pretty fun. I'll try to think what else. That's about it for gaming. I have been very busy talking with some people about some stuff.
Yeah.
And I am... not at liberty to discuss right now, again.
Believe me, they know the drill.
Yeah, I'm sure they do. But it's very exciting, and it's really interesting to be on that kind of side of the conversation and just see kind of little bits and pieces of how different things have like always gone on behind the scenes, which it's super cool. So maybe we'll have something more to say about that in the new year coming up.
I wanted to ask you about that special guest. How's that coming through? Is that anything... developed for that? You know, I mean, we have to say who, but I mean.
Yes.
And no.
And no.
Yeah.
We'll talk after this.
Okay. I feel like that was a yes and no.
Yeah. It's a mixed bag with that kind of stuff. Let's see what else we have. Oh, yeah. As long as we're doing kind of like a grab bag of everything that we've seen or done in the past month or so. Had you seen Joker before?
Yeah, I did see it.
What'd you think of it?
I saw it the weekend after it was out. And, you know, I think it was okay movie. I don't think it was, like, some type of revolutionary role. I don't think it's going to, like, spark, you know, violence like that. But then again, it's hard to tell because when Heath Ledger did his, it didn't spark violence until, like, what, 4 years later when the new movie came out, Dark Knight Rises. And then all those events.
When, how did it spark violence?
A lot of people say, like the James Holmes incident. Like, he came into the Dark Knight Rises premiere and, like, shot the movie theater in Colorado.
Yeah, but I don't think it was because he said the Joker.
He literally dressed up as the Joker and said, I'm the Joker, and started killing people.
Did he?
What?
Did he really?
Yeah.
No. I'm...
What?
Yeah. I know he shot a bunch of people. What, James?
Well, yeah.
Let's fact check this. Joker.
Yeah. Joaquin Phoenix.
I never heard about that, where he dressed up as the Joker.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't really get the hair right. He went orange, but...
Yeah. God, yeah. Looks like a fucking psycho.
Yeah, he is. But yeah, and then there's another one, like, later down, like, the road, the same year that happened, someone else did it. You know. But, you know, I don't think it's going to do that. But then again, it's hard to tell because even that was, like, 4 years after the film. So we'll see. But I don't think it's... I think it's more of a film of... understanding versus inciting.
I did like that.
I mean, I have people close to me that have those issues, so it's kind of scary. Like, the first part of the film was way worse to me than the last part because the last part's...
was not dressed as the Joker.
What?
According to Vanity Fair, when he killed 12 people in the movie theater in 2012. He had his hair painted red. He said he was... That's obviously the enemy of Batman.
He said he was the Joker. He literally just says he had his hair painted red. He said he was the Joker.
So the rumor began after he killed 12 people and injured 70 more. This is the police commissioner, Ray Kelly, said that Holmes actually referred to himself as the Joker. It never happened. Da-da-da-da-da, the Joker. Yeah. Yeah, they said he didn't.
Okay, Vanity Fair. Vanity Fair versus the world.
Dude, what are you talking about? Like, do you not trust Vanity Fair?
I don't trust news right now.
I don't trust news, period. And we'll get into that.
I don't trust news right now.
Okay, well, tomato.
But,
anyway.
But, yeah, I have it hits close the first half where it's just, like, him becoming.
Yeah.
Is way more disturbing to me than, you know, I came in the theater knowing Joker stuff was going to happen. So, like,
it is called Joker, after all.
Yeah, I mean, so, like, I wasn't, like, oh, my God, he's killing people? It's like, yeah. No, like, it sounds terrible. That's what we came to see.
Yeah.
But the beginning was way more disturbing. And, yeah, I know people who deal with these mental issues that could easily, you know, fall into that. Oh, that, you know, they could identify themselves with that. I think that's what they're, I think that's what the issue with a lot of people thinking the movie would, you know, incite. But I don't know. It's, the movie itself was okay. I would give it like an 8.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know. I just feel like it wasn't Joker enough to me. I know it's an origin film. Mm-hmm. But I feel like he's not crazy. I think he's just kind of mentally ill. I feel like,
yeah,
it's different. It's not comic book crazy.
It's a different take.
The Joker is usually like no empathy, no sympathy, no his conscience is, you know, what's this is bad and this is worse. There is no really good. He has some type of twisted sense of justice. Yeah, compared to this Joker, who's just a guy that portrayed in the film that's misunderstood and betrayed and felt like he was alone. You know, it's different than the quote-unquote traditional crazy. So I guess that's kind of like...
I liked it. I thought it was a unique kind of take on it. God, that thing... Dude, that thing's going to hit $1 billion. Holy crap. I'm just looking at the Wikipedia page right now.
Oh, yeah, 939 worldwide. Yeah.
It's going to hit $1 billion. I liked it.
It took the crown from Deadpool. Radar. Yeah.
I thought it was an interesting take. I liked, you know, I think Heath Ledger's portrayal and Joaquin Phoenix's can, you know, both coexist. I don't think they have to compete with each other. But I thought it was a little hokey when he met a young Bruce Wayne at the manor. I thought that was a little lame.
That was kind of stupid.
But I liked it.
Was he like 80 when he becomes Batman? Because he comes back around like 20.
Yeah.
Okay, let's say 20. Like, so he's 8 in that film. So 16 years later, he's going to be what? This Joker looked like he's mid-30s.
Oh, yeah.
And he's going to be fighting Batman for another 40 years. I was like, yeah, I agree. That's kind of hokey.
What was I going to say?
You did start. You said hokey that.
It was hokey. He went to go see
Bruce Wayne.
I don't know. I lost it. Yeah. I think I liked it for the same reasons that I liked Taxi Driver. I liked, you know, that kind of, you almost kind of feel sorry for him in like the first half of the movie. And I thought that was really kind of cool in a way where like I felt really bad when he started like doing that, like laughing, and he was trying to stop himself from laughing. And I thought that was pretty interesting and sympathetic of the character. Then he shoots and kills him.
Murray.
And that, dude, that scene was so good. But, dude, that felt like I was watching some sort of, like, live leak video or something. Like, it felt, I don't know.
Right.
The filter they shot, it seemed so, like, oh, my God.
Here, I'll tell you.
It was crazy.
The things I really liked about it, yeah, I did like the that part. Because it seemed like he, you know, as he rehearsed in his room, he was going to go on there and kill himself. But then we'll start making fun of him.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, you know what? No, Murray.
Murray.
That was good. The dancing, at first I didn't know if I'd like it the first time he did it in the bus station or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
The train station, subway. But then I got used to it. I'm like, okay, that's how he's going to be able to cope with this stuff, you know. So I kind of like that. And then I liked the mind fuck of it's in his head. Like a lot of those things.
Oh, like the Zazie the dating. Beats. Yeah. Girl, yeah.
That was weird when she said, you're... Your name's Arthur, right? I'm like, wait, well, who that? No. Yeah. I thought that was pretty cool.
I like that because I was like, dude, there's no way they're moving that fast. Like, it seems really weird that they're, like, connected like that. And, like, oh, turns out it's all in his head. This guy's a psycho.
Did you – I read online I don't know the comedian. You may know the comedian. That was the cameo when he was in there, like, researching how to be a comedian.
Mm-mm.
He was, like, laughing. Ah, ha, ha. Like, everyone else was laughing at jokes. And he was like, ah, all weird. Apparently on set, that guy didn't know who was doing the weird laugh. He just thought it was, like, an annoying, like, overacting extra. And he was, like, distracting him from his takes.
That's funny.
And then he found out, like, during, like, the fourth take or something, like, that was Joaquin Phoenix. He goes, oh, well, okay. Well, I guess, it's just, I think it's so funny. Like, how do you not know that that's...
Yeah.
You just think it's an annoying extra with a weird laugh? I thought it was pretty funny. I like seeing behind the scenes stuff, but, you know, they come out.
I liked it. I hope we get more interesting takes on superhero stuff like that. Because, like, I got to tell you, I'm kind of checking out of the hole. I think Avengers Endgame was my last big hurrah with that sort of stuff.
As it should have been.
Yeah, I can't see myself getting that interested in, like, what's going to happen next.
Well, you like Injustice, right? Like, you know the Injustice story?
Mm-mm.
Storyline?
Evil Superman, that's all I know.
Yeah. I think that would be really interesting to explore. Like, in the day. So they did that in Brightburn. They weren't allowed to call it Superman, but the movie Brightburn's like a horror film. Like, what if the kid was evil when he came to, you know, Earth?
Yeah.
You know, he did evil things. What were we going to do? You know, teach him how to be a good kid, but at some time, like, he's like, no. He's still a teenager, so he's going to do teenage things. It's just, like, I think it's pretty interesting. Like, how are you going to tame a teenage Superman who is born evil and doesn't want to listen to what you do?
I think that's why I like The Boys so much, and I'm looking forward to that second season.
Yes, that's fantastic.
It's a really good, really good TV show.
Yeah. I wanted it, yeah. The way they ended that.
Yeah.
Because I already know what happens, but, like... That was crazy, though, the way they went about it, because there's some people, and, you know, after I watched the first season, I went ahead and read online comics where they're adapting this, and so I know where it's going to go around those lines. But it's just interesting to me that, like, I think the most interesting character is not Billy Butcher. I think it's Homelander. That's like, he does so much, like, I don't know, his dynamic that just changes every episode to where, like, I'm this powerful guy. But I really just want to be accepted somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, at the end, it seems like, yeah, he's bragging in his face, like, you're doing all this for nothing, because she just didn't want to, you know, come up and tell you that she's alive. But, like, at the same time, I'm now accepted as somebody because I am the father of this superpowered kid with your wife. So it's like, I don't know, it's an interesting thing that they're going to do. But, I mean, yeah, like you said, I'm interested in season two. It should be dropping this year, right? Or...
I don't know.
The preview should be dropping at the end of this year, but then the actual season, I think, is next summer or something.
Yeah, that's like the last super thing I think I'm interested in, but we'll see what happens.
It's on record. We'll see if that's it.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I trust, what's his name, Kevin Feige?
Feige,
whatever.
The Alex Houle?
Yeah,
fuck it. Fuck his name.
Well, I trust, you know, he's had an incredibly stellar track record with this stuff, so I trust that he will find something. If he is not already focused on Star Wars, which I heard he was taking the helm of that now, too.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, he's, like, taking control, I guess, of the Star Wars, like, planning out what's going to go on.
Did you watch Game of Thrones?
Mm-hmm.
So, apparently, the writers were going to work on the Star Wars.
Like
the new ones.
Yep. David
they just
and...
got kicked off it.
Yeah.
So, everyone's pissed that they rushed Game of Thrones Season 8. For pretty much nothing.
I think allegedly it is saying that they got removed out of it because they had scheduling conflicts with some other Netflix stuff, I think. So, I mean, with that stuff, it's like it is so hard to tell what is like how it actually happened, because no matter what interaction transpired, there is always some diplomatic PR agency that's like, well, you know, we've decided to part ways because of X, Y, and Z. Not because they had a massive pushback, but
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking, like, I'm excited for that. The Mandalorian looks kind of cool, just because it's got Bill Burr in it, and I love anything that Bill Burr does.
I really love Bill Burr. He always made fun of Star Wars too.
Yeah,
he's like, I missed it.
It's so funny. It's funny.
He talked about it like on a talk show, and he's like, you know what, I kind of get it now. I kind of get why people, you know, enjoy this shit. It's good stuff. But But at the same time, you know, it's decreasing in value everywhere you go.
Well, yeah, and I think that people, you know, a lot of people didn't like The Last Jedi, and I think that I look back on that, this whole sequel trilogy, and I just think it's a colossal missed opportunity. And, like, when the stuff coming out and saying that they didn't really have a finite plan for the trilogy,
right,
how they were going to do it, I'm like, dude, how do you do that with, like, a huge
just green light Star Wars.
Yeah, and so it's like you get in this weird, like, disjointed vision of J.J. Abrams, like, walking back on stuff where my gut is telling me that, you know, Rise of Skywalker, or is that what the next one's called, is going to be more like a sequel to Force Awakens.
Because I think,
or whatever.
I think they messed up because they gave Rian Johnson the directing job. I don't know what J.J. Abrams was doing for Last Jedi, and he didn't get directed. And I think his vision got distorted in the middle there. So now he's kind of like you say, he's got to go back and not retcon, but, I mean, what are you going to do? Make it connect? I mean, I honestly would say that the prequel trilogy is better. This movie right here is going to determine which one's better, because right now it's about neck and neck. Because I really like, my personal second favorite behind Empire is Revenge of the Sith.
Yeah.
I think that was a good one of the series. I don't think Return of the Jedi was better than Revenge of the Sith. I don't think the original Star Wars was better. I just think, I don't know. It gets a lot of slack. I mean, yeah, it has its flaws. Like, Grievous is terrible. But other than him, I think everything else is great.
I think because it's hard to get as passionate about this stuff anymore, but, like, what I really remember about the prequel trilogy is that it was, for all the crap that it rightfully gets about, like, you know, dialogue and some of the characters and stuff like that, it was incredibly cool to, like, have that world-building aspect in there. Like, it really expanded the Star Wars mythos, whereas with the sequel trilogy, it's like we're hitting all the same shit. Like, there's another Death Star, you know.
Their
we're going
planet.
Back to Tatooine, going to a desert planet. They had, like, the one thing was that weird casino planet, and it was just, like... Last Jedi.
Which had made no sense.
It's like, what?
No sense.
And they freed the horses, and, you know, the Asian lady was like, well, that makes it worth it. I'm like, well.
No, does it?
Doesn't.
You know? And then you had Carrie Poppins.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Like, there was so much.
That was so weird.
Phasma still didn't do anything, you know.
Yeah. And she came back and she died.
Made this big deal about this head trooper, you know. And then... what was it? There's another thing that happened. Yeah, shirtless.
Shirtless Kylo Ren. Yeah.
Shirtless Kylo Ren.
How could I forget?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. And then, of course, Rey and all of them can, like, now do, like, what, telepathy?
Yeah. Well, I think
Force telepathy.
That's kind of the big thing, is why they brought Palpatine back, is because they're like, well, we just, Rian Johnson decided to kill the main bad guy in the second movie, and so, like, we need
that,
something.
Another thing, like, you know? Dude, that whole film was a mess. You know, it was entertaining.
Like, it was really well shot. Like, there was a lot of really great, like, visually stunning scenes in there,
right.
But, like, what it did to Star Wars is just...
Yeah, it definitely did not. Luke's drinking milk from those weird creatures being a dick. Like, everything they did is kind of just terrible. Like, that whole decision. I don't know how anyone on set was just like, yeah, this is great. Like, no voiced opinions.
Yeah.
Yeah, they could have been, but, you know, I know the only voiced opinion since the release has been Mark Hamill's. He wasn't happy with it. But.
Yeah, I'm surprised I let him do that for so long. Like, yeah, being, like, really outspoken about
terrible.
How much he doesn't like it.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever, this isn't the Last Jedi review hour
right.
or whatnot. But,
it's terrible.
it's just not, I don't know.
One of those films that, like, I wouldn't be upset if I collected the, you know, collector's edition with all of them in it, and then that one got lost. I wouldn't be upset.
You and your physical media.
I wouldn't be upset.
Yeah, I don't know. I just kind of, I don't really care as much about this stuff anymore. So it's, like, hard to get really upset. Like, there are some people on YouTube that get really
heated.
Really heated. And it's kind of entertaining to watch.
But does it make it worse? So does The Last Jedi make Star Wars, the franchise, worse now?
I would say yes.
Or does it ruin Star Wars?
I don't think it ruins Star Wars. I think it introduces, there was one thing that really... bugs me, and as someone who, because I remember I read some of the extended universe fiction stuff back when I was, like, you know, 10 or 11 or something like that, with all the books. God, what was the dude's name? It's like X-Wing pilot Corin Horn, I think, or something. Some weird Star Warsy name, but, like, there was some really cool concepts in there, but, like, so all those don't exist now, but with The Last Jedi there was that one scene that where they hyperspace a ship into a bigger ship to blow up the bigger ship. And I'm like, well, why didn't you just do that for everything?
Oh.
You know, like, why not just make a bunch of empty ships and just shoot them with the Death Star, blow them up? That to me, like, I feel like if you were making a sequel to a IP, a property that spans as much stuff as Star Wars, you need to be very careful about the stuff that you then add into it, because it's like it could retroactively kind of like make it not make a whole lot of sense afterwards.
Yeah, you know, there's some things that are gripes about the Avengers. Like, even in Infinity War, I don't know if you're like, I'm sure you remember, like, when Thanos just, you know, grabs the stone out of Vision's head.
Mm-hmm.
Well, wasn't he made of vibranium? Is it supposed to be super strong? I know it's the strongest metal on Earth, so yes, there could be stronger things other than things on Earth. But at the same time, it kind of like debunks a lot of. And then in the end game, he just kind of shreds Captain's shield. You know, it's like, I don't know, is it really that strong anymore?
Yeah.
You know, but with the, I don't think with the Star Wars thing is, I don't think the bad movie ruins the whole franchise, because the movies that were made before it are still intact. They didn't change. So if you really like Star Wars that much because of the original trilogy, you can always watch the original trilogy.
Yeah.
Trilogy. You don't have to watch the other one.
But then you're always wondering, like, well, why didn't they just, Admiral Akbar did take, like, a ship and just hyperspace it into the Star Destroyer fleet? Or why not? Right. And why wasn't there not some, like, weird transport ship in Empire Strikes Back that just hyperspace into the giant Star Destroyer thing?
But that takes place after the original
trilogy. The technology was still there. I mean, hyperspace still existed.
30 years after.
Yeah, but hyperspace still exists. They use it all the time in Star Wars. So why not just hyperspace through something else? I don't think there was anything indicating that that technology only could have existed 30 years after.
I don't know. I think only the Millennium Falcon did it.
Did what?
Hyperspace.
You're out of your fucking mind.
And the first trilogy?
Don't get at me with this shit, Luke. You don't know.
Yes.
No. Even in, okay, so one scene, Battle of Endor.
They get away using hyperspace.
They all jump to hyperspace to go to Endor when they fight. I'm not even going to get into this with you. This is ridiculous. They totally. Now I'm getting passionate. This is my childhood talking.
See?
About.
But either way, the series itself is not ruined. I think the new trilogy is ruined. But I don't think Star Wars itself is ruined.
It's a hyperbolic thing to say. Yeah, I agree with that. But like, it just like, it's like, well, if that was a thing, why not just be able to do that? It kind of. It just shows a lack of planning and reverence for the source material stuff that is not doesn't sit well with me.
You mentioned childhood. That's one quick note. Is I hate when people say, you ruined my childhood, like with a bad movie or something, and like nowadays, and you're like 30. It's like, no, I didn't. Your childhood's still the same whether this movie comes out in 2020 or not.
Yeah.
It ruined your childhood. I'm ruining your adulthood. I'm not ruining your childhood. Your childhood's still
Make
the
no
same.
Mistake. I'm ruining your adulthood.
Your adulthood.
All right. Well, enough about we spent too much time.
Mainstream media.
Well, that's a great segue, Luke. We are sitting pretty here at November 6th, about a day after this video came out. And we didn't talk about Epstein or anything like that when this was going on. I don't think we did. But there was let's see here. I want to make sure I get this right. Oh, my God.
Jamie.
Jamie, turn that down.
Copyright strike.
2.2 million views. So basically, there was this, like, Project Veritas is this, like, underground, I would say almost conservative.
Conspiracy.
Leaning kind of website or whatnot, in a sense. But which is not a big deal to me, because every news network has their own political bias. But they basically leaked this video of a ABC News reporter who was hot mic'd, which basically means that her microphone was on. She thought she was off camera. She was in a private moment. She was basically complaining, saying, you know, 3 years ago, we had Clinton, we had Epstein, we had all this kind of stuff, and they sat on. And basically, you can look it up yourself, and I don't want to talk too much about the meat and potatoes of what goes on in that video, because YouTube is kind of sensitive about that kind of stuff. So you can look it up. It's blowing up, and it's blown up. And basically is the implication that you get from that is that ABC News knew about Jeffrey Epstein and his horrendous crimes against humanity, you know, 3 years ago, and they chose to sit on the story because they wanted to get they were getting pressure from the royal family. This is allegedly. They were getting pressured from the royal family, and they didn't want to not get an interview with, like, Prince Harry or William or whatever that stuff is. So,
I just, with all that stuff, I mean, I would say take it with a grain of salt, but I believe half of it, so I can't really say that. I believe the second half of, I don't think Epstein offed himself.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people do.
I don't think that. That's definitely one of the worst cover-ups, I think, in modern day.
Yeah.
But the fact, I mean, everyone, I hate things like after-the-fact things to where it's like, oh, well, I mean, I knew this was going to happen. All right, well, why didn't you do that? Or like, we had all this stuff. Like, where
is
it?
That is what is infuriating about it to me.
I don't know whether or not to believe what she's saying, even if she is hot-mic'd, because you could always say things without, you know, we had the story. Well, I mean, where is any type of trace of that you had the story at least? At least show us, like, you don't have to show us the story itself. Show us the papers that, you know, show us something. You know, I mean, obviously this is hot mic, so she doesn't have it on her at that time. But I think it's easy to say after the fact that you had all this stuff and you were going to do all these things. Mm-hmm. And then when it comes time to, you know, show what it is, like, so 3 years after, I don't know her regulations or her rules of being a reporter to where, like, what she can and cannot release or say. I don't know if she's going to get in trouble for this. I don't know. But I'm saying it's kind of, it's just fishy, you know. It's just fishy to me that for both sides. So I can't necessarily say that she's lying, you know. I have no proof of that. But I also can't believe her because there's no proof of that. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I don't know. But everyone just assumes it. Like, and nowadays, if you say something, it has to be true. You know, if it blows up, it has to be true. For some reason, I don't know why, but that's just the way that we go about things these days.
Well, so here's where I'm coming from with this, is that, one, it was in a private moment, which that to me seems more genuine, that you wouldn't really make that stuff up because she had no idea she was being recorded.
Yada, is it yada, that yada. Private? I don't know how many people were in that room. There's got to be a crew. There's got to be so many people there.
Probably a few.
And in these days, are you ever really private?
I don't know. It just seemed like she was in a very impassioned kind of moment with that. And okay. Two, ABC released a statement yesterday about that, acknowledging that this was – they were trying to get out ahead of it. So, like, that to me lends an incredible amount of credence to the fact that this is accurate. And I think that the main problem that we have with a lot of journalism these days is the same reason why they are seeing record – amounts of people dropping off and stopping to watch mainstream media, especially among people younger than 40, is that we live in a digital age where stuff can be fact-checked. There are, you know, leakers can blow up stuff, blow up stories, and, you know, it's harder to keep stuff secret and obfuscate, you know, some of the facts, I think, with that sort of stuff. And I think that a lot of people see that and they realize that these news networks – some of them have agendas, and
some of them.
let's say all of them have agendas.
If you're right or left, whatever, they all have agendas.
Yes, and some of them, like ABC, was also in the news a few weeks ago because they were in hot water about faking war footage from Syria when it was just a gun range in Kentucky. Did you see that?
No, but that sounds just like the movie National. It's like something correspondents, and they had like Ricky Gervais and Eric Bana, and then they like made up that they were over in like Ecuador and shit.
Well, so like that to me is it only helps one kind of political party, I think, when you kind of have this sort of stuff out that is
well, that's their goal.
Obvious. No, but I'm saying like this stuff only helps embolden Donald Trump's rhetoric of fake news. Seeing this be like seeing ABC sit on a story about a massive child rapist, like, for 3 years. God knows how many people they could have saved by going out ahead of that 3 years ago because it was an election year and because they said they had Clinton or whatever. And, you know,
all because
someone was running for office.
Yeah.
Her name was Hillary. And I think that the bigger issue is that these people – and what Amy Robach or whatever was her name, my gut and what really tells me enough that I need to know about this sort of stuff is that these people are – they are like fair weather journalists. They are I'm trying to think the right way to say this because I don't want to like sound too incensed, but it does really piss me off. I think that these people are by and large kind of cowards that are trying to pretend they are real, legitimate journalists because, dude, if you come across a story like that, and your parent network tries to squash it, and you know there are little girls out there getting abused, and it goes deep, and you have all this kind of stuff. You know, this was in 2016, and you have access to the internet. I would just try and blow it up. Anyway, go to another network, do something. You know, because that's, I mean, that's like the morally right thing to do. I think, you know, it's easy to consider yourself a journalist when you're covering fluff pieces about what the hell Donald Trump is tweeting about or some other kind of stuff. But when you have a job and an obligation to really expose corruption.
So are you holding her responsible for it?
Yeah, I think so. I think I blame her. I blame her. I blame ABC.
So she could have, even so, let's say she didn't want to leave. She could have released it on the dark web, said someone hacked her.
Sure. Yeah. I honest to God, I mean.
Leaks happen all the time for everything.
Dude, I mean, I'd like to think that any real journalist in that position would be like, okay,
so
is maybe bigger than me. I need to try and get this story out there.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I was kind of saying in the beginning. It's like, doesn't that deter you from believing it was true?
What do you mean?
The fact that you believe all that, like anyone, pretty much anyone with a sane mind, wouldn't just sit on this themselves. If they had the real concrete evidence that they're saying that she's clean, they had, now why is she so pissed that no one's taking her story? You know, and you could have done something about it. The way that you come off made it seem like I would have changed the world. You know, it made it seem more personal, like they blocked my story other than I could have saved these people. That's what it comes off as.
It does.
But
you're right.
That's what also deters me from believing that she was true. Because I'm like, where is it? There's no sign that even you tried at all to get it out. You just said, oh, well, the editors don't want me to do it. Well, I guess I'll just keep these files in my closet. You know, like, I just don't, I'm not buying it. But I'm also, I can't dismiss it because of the impact that this Epstein guy, you know unfortunately laid waste.
I don't know the whole story, like, with what went on behind the scenes from that. But I think you were operating under the assumption that Amy Robach is a good person. That is not just totally self-centered and trying to help her career. Because I watched the video, and it seemed to me that she was more...
It sounds like she was mad about...
She was mad, not necessarily because there were, like, little girls getting raped and abused, but, like, that she could blow up the story.
Yeah. You know, she could have had a name.
And again, that is just what it came across to me in that clip. And, you know, there is probably another side to that story as well. But the fact that she sat on that story as well and didn't have the guts or the balls to go out to maybe a different news network or even to the internet on Twitter, she's got like 100,000 followers or something, you know, to, if nothing else, than to help those kids.
What do you think about when she was talking about that one lady that knows everything, telling her to like watch her back?
What is that about?
Like at the end of that video, she was like, she knows everything. She probably watch her back. You know, if that was me, I'd have security at all times. Like, stuff like.
Yeah.
Whoever her lady, that lady's name is, do you think she's going to come out and say something about this?
I don't know. I think that, again, I don't know the whole
right, it's only been...
side of all that kind of stuff. And I'm sure we'll maybe get some more details as the day goes on or the next few days go on. Because, you know, depending on how far down this rabbit hole you want to get, I mean, there could be some kind of, if the royal family was pressuring them, we don't know. They said they were pressuring them in like a million different ways or something like that. We don't know the extent of that.
How do they pressure you, the royal family?
It's probably like a tit for tat. It's like, hey, you know, if you leak this stuff about our, Prince Andrew was the one accused, well, you're not going to get access to our interviews or that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Tough.
Again, I think completely different. Under the assumption these people are like genuinely good people and not just narcissistic, self-serving, you know, quote unquote journalists.
You know what? The funny thing about that is that even let's say they said they were good people. Let's say they were good people who said tough. All right, we're going to leak it anyway. Screw you, royal family.
Yeah.
The royal family, even then, they're strong around because all they could do then is roll with it. So that like if that had leaked and yeah, their party gets, I don't know. I don't want to say contradicted, but they're under fire, right? Mm-hmm. All they could do is just separate themselves from it and be like, yeah, you know, right? Yeah, his actions are terrible, all this stuff. They can't be like, no, we'll shut you down for good. You can't interview us forever again because then it's going to seem like they condone what their party was doing, what people in their party were doing.
Yeah.
So, like, they're in a lose-lose, so I don't know why they even mattered.
I don't know. I think that royal – I never – and I think it's probably just like a Disney princess kind of shit, but I never got the American obsession with like the royal family. It's – everything I've heard about them is very weird and frankly bizarre. So I – you know, I don't know. I'm not
Is that a JoJo reference?
I just don't. I'm sure you and I can't even begin to imagine the different sort of ways, whether it be passive or aggressive, that people get influenced all the time, and by different powerhouses of the
world.
That's true. But you know, I know that ABC had an obligation to do the right thing, and they didn't because they wanted more political favors. And you know, I think this is like their big death knell. I think that they don't come back from this. I think that
ABC.
Yeah.
No, they're too big.
They're not too big, though. Dude, have you looked at any of the statistics? Like, the only people that watch the mainstream news at this point are fucking people in their 40s and older. They're not going to be around forever.
Right, but they're still going to be around for, like, 20 more years.
Maybe 20 more years. Maybe. But
you're acting like that's not a long time for people to forget.
2.2 million. I'd like to think that people
It's not like it's 9/11, you know? Like, I'm saying, like, it sounds terrible. It sucks and it's a terrible thing. Yes, I agree. But at the same time, you're acting like no one's going to, like, forget about this, especially people who aren't watching now, who aren't exposed to this.
I don't know.
So people who aren't even exposed to this don't even know what's going on. 20 years from now, and they turn on the news and they want news, they're not going to think about this because they didn't know it happened. So why would they have any type of grudge?
We'll see.
I just
think that this
unless news networks are just gone by then. Then you have, but
that also could be a possibility.
But ABC News itself,
a long time.
You know, ABC News itself wouldn't be taken out while everyone else continues. It's either they're all gone or they all just go on as they are.
I don't think this is what sinks one at a time at some point. What I predict is going to happen with this, I think there's going to be some people stepping down. They're going to try and do this kind of like pageantry to save face.
Maybe.
You know, we are outraged at this, yada, yada, yada.
Isn't ABC owned by Disney?
They are.
So I think what they might do, they might bow out. Like you said, they have a different, you know, this because of this. No, it's because of this. But they're going to go on Disney Plus and have like a new service on Disney Plus. Like, we just wanted to move our platform to this. You know, they're going to do that shit.
But see, like, I don't understand how someone can,
like, ESPN's on Disney Plus,
go forward with watching ABC News now, like knowing this sort of stuff. And maybe that you're right. Maybe they all forget in 5-10 years or whatever. And but like, I don't know. That to me is just so infuriating because you always kind of figure that at some point, you know, there's a rich and powerful people that have some sort of influence. But like, I never thought it was like kind of like this, where it's like, hey, we knew about this fucking monster of our generation operating 3 years ago and we didn't do anything about it. And like, that to me is just it's reprehensible. It's terrible. It's extremely sad to see that.
Imagine if being one of those girls.
Yeah. I would feel like, betrayed. I mean, because they had her. One of them came forward.
And they have access to this video.
And
I
they
assume,
didn't do anything.
Right? Like, yeah. And they're like, wait, so you guys did have.
Yeah.
If I was one of them, I'd be like, pressing charges almost.
Yeah.
I feel like you could press charges.
Yeah.
I don't know the legal system like that, but I'm sure you could somehow.
There are some people talking about like legal action against ABC. We'll see how far that gets. But like, I don't know. I just think that they in a medium in 2019, where mainstream news is struggling to stay relevant to the newer generations, this is like the last thing that they want. It's like, hey, we totally sat out like the most colossal story of this decade for 3 years because we wanted to interview Prince Harry.
And
like that's
yeah. And,
I don't know, man.
We didn't want to do it because just the reasons they came up with, like, even if they said they covered, like, we wanted to interview Prince Harry. Like, what else? Okay, let's say that was a legit reason. What else was it? Was that the only reason?
No, I don't think so. I bet you, well, I bet you that if they ran this story 3 years ago, which was 2016, we had an election year, and if they said in the video we had Clinton, we had everything, that probably would not do, you know, Hillary Clinton any favors in the election.
So you think the Sandman would be our president then?
Sandman?
Bernie. He would have felt the burn.
Oh, shit. I didn't even think of that. I was just thinking in terms of
Trump. Because if that
would
have leaked,
Hillary
would have been done.
Crazy.
Hillary would have been done. Bernie's not winning.
Oh, my God.
Bernie's not winning this time.
No. Well, yeah,
he's done. He's burned out.
He's burned. He felt the burn. A little too hard. That's an interesting point. I didn't think about it like that. I just was thinking in terms of optics, in terms of Hillary versus Trump. But like, if this happened back far enough in 2016 that, you know, Bernie won that. Oh man.
I think the last time we talked was about Bernie. I think he did what you said.
It's gonna be different.
He's like, when he went down with like that heart attack or whatever. Yeah. He's like, see, if I didn't have the health care that I. He did spin it that way. That was a good publicist. Yeah. We called it.
Yeah, we did call it.
Here on the fireside. But I mean, I don't know. I mean, you got that whole side is kind of – I don't think Trump is going to win. I think the Democratic side is going to win because all the stuff with Trump, too, is not good either. The impeachment stuff is not going well for him.
And I don't
know. They're also doing this ABC thing where they're just trying to slide things under the rug. And like you said, he has – rolled off all these punches and not even scrape. Like, I think one's going to – you're going to have to knock him out. You can't box – you can't stay with him. You know, you're going to have to just put him on his back with one punch. And we haven't found that punch yet. I think this story of this impeachment saga, it's going to reach ahead. And when it reaches ahead, I think that's going to be right like June next year, right before everyone really is getting into the election fever, you know?
I think that's what people want, and I – but in order for an impeachment to be successful, it needs to be brought before the Senate, and the Senate has to approve it. Guess who has the majority control in the Senate?
Republicans.
So it doesn't – I don't see – like, again, this is just me.
But I'm not a political expert. Coming out and saying
– I don't think it'll be enough. I don't see the whole hubbub about the impeachment
stuff.
But
is it enough to derail his campaign for a re-election?
Here's my thoughts on this is I don't think it is going to be – a huge blowout like some people do. I think that you may need to do some soul searching and be like okay with the fact that there is still a very strong possibility that he's going to win again.
Just prepare yourself.
Just mentally prepare yourself.
Hold on to your butts.
Well, I don't think, and here's why, and I think Beto, we were going to talk about that too, I think Beto has something to do with it, this fucking chuckleheaded idiot.
Who is now out.
Who is now out. Which, by the way, the polls were saying he was the best chance to beat Donald Trump or whatever. But furthermore.
Once he said in the debate, once he said, I want to take away everyone's guns, I was like,
That is what drives me crazy.
There's a reason that none of the Democrats, the Democratic side, no one said anything about that
They're
yet.
Like, wait, what the fuck? It's going on.
We don't agree with that. Like, once he's the only one to say something, you're like, okay. It's kind of like your girl just butchered the other lady. What was it?
Gabbard. Gabbard Harris.
Yeah. Harris got butchered because...
She's going to drop out next, I'm sure.
Yeah, she just got just surgically just outdone by it. Yeah. And I was just like... She started talking about like... Once you have to start talking about like Twitter and banning Trump from Twitter, like that's your big statement on the big stage, you know that you have nothing for America. That's what you want. He shouldn't be able to tweet like that he's violating the policies. Like, okay, well, that may be a separate issue, but what does that have to do with, you know, health reform? Yeah. It's like what's that to do? Yeah. How's that going to help us, you know, be a better country?
Here's the thing that I think – I think the Democrats would have a – let me try to think the right way to say
still
this.
Still think Yang's. Yang's our guy.
I would go for Yang or Gabbard. I don't think the Democrats – I think they can't get out of their own way, and they just – most of them just have to shut up, stick to the issues – and don't veer too far, and I think they might have a good chance of getting this election in the bag. Here is the issue with Beto, whatever the hell his name is.
Beta.
This Beta guy.
Beta male.
Going into the October 15th debates, he was polling at like a 1% or 2% or something abysmally low. He had to have known he was on his way out. So what does this idiot do? He does this Hail Mary and like is like, yeah, and we're going to go door – like you're saying, we're going to go door to door, take your goddamn guns. First of all, that's an insane idea. Impractical. It would never work in America. Like, in order to kind of remove guns from this country, you would have to get out at the founding of this country and – like, they're too far ingrained in our system now for them to be removed by a door-to-door, like, search warrant, essentially. And, like, never mind all the sheriffs and the police that were coming out after that debate saying they would refuse that order. It's – logistically, that's a stupid-ass thing to say.
Yeah.
Second of all, he got a huge round of applause from everyone, except for all the other candidates on there, which
–
but then he dropped out like 2 weeks later. So now they have this – the Republicans have this soundbite of like, listen to this, listen to what he's doing, and like listen to the amount of cheers he got all these guys want to take your guns, even if they won't admit it. Like, he basically flipped the table, said fuck you to all the other runners, and just left. Like, he did more harm than good in his entire campaign.
I agree.
He's an idiot.
It's the same thing. God. Would you argue? I don't think it's an argument. I still think the 2016 Republican side is more of a circus than this 2019 Democratic side.
It's not over yet.
I still think it's more of a circus. But it's the same type of stuff. Like, we had sound bites for Trump for days before he got elected.
Yeah.
About just shit that you would never expect anyone to say and people to agree with. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's going to slow anyone down. Granted, no one here, maybe Yang has the moxie of a Trump to where it's like, you could like bounce off what people say, kind of deflect it and use some type of fact to come back with you. But,
yeah.
And you know, he's kind of biting off of the Make America Great Again with the math, Make America Think Harder. You know, he's got his slogan as well. So I think he's the only one that has the charisma right now and the only one that has the plans right now and the only one that has the, I want to say the diversity. I think that's going to help him a lot just being an Asian American because also being the guy he consistently say, I don't know how many times he said it, he's like, I left my comfy job as a lawyer to go do work for the people, all this shit. Like, whereas Trump never left his high establishment lifestyle, never. Mm-hmm. And he just kind of moseyed his way, kind of fucked around and became president. It's kind of like he went to the park, I think I'll get a triple-double today. And just like I don't know how
to run the country today, maybe.
But I honestly don't think Trump's going to get reelected. I think, granted, people will vote just to be bitter about it. Like, no, he's our president. You need to accept it. Get over yourselves. I think there's going to be some of those votes. And people don't account for those votes for some reason. Because, you know, people always give crap for, like, you know, when Obama elected, you only voted for him because he's black. Well, they're only going to vote for him this time because he's the president now. And like, I honestly don't think, what has he really done that kind of warrants you a reelection? Forget about the Democratic side.
I think there's a lot that he's done. And I think it's hard to. So our unemployment level is the lowest it's been in probably the past half century.
Skewed numbers.
Is it based on what?
Based off of, okay, so
unemployment. How are those skewed numbers?
Think about it. If I told you, it doesn't mean the quality of life is better. People mistake it for the quality of America is getting better because of the increase or decrease in rate. So if I give you some shit job, right, you have a job. You are now employed.
Yeah.
Is anything good? Is anything good for you?
No.
But
that's a talking point. People are going to look at that now.
I'm saying it doesn't. You need to look at the whole picture. It's not just because.
Oh, I know.
And where people, but I'm saying people like, you should be grateful. If you have a job, any job should be like some old-fashioned 1930s. You're lucky you even have a job type thing. Well, I mean, sometimes nowadays with our system, not having a job is better than having a job.
Yeah, Jesus.
Yeah, that's its own argument, which I am on the red side for that.
But see, like, you need to kind of think in the perspective of, like, if you're the average voter who doesn't give a shit about politics and is just trying to put food on his table, yada, 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 you're going to be more receptive to these little quick bite-sized statistics.
You know, you're a cat. You like the shiny objects.
Sure.
Like,
but like you say, okay, lowest unemployment rate in 50 years. Economy is doing well. Stock market is heading to record highs or whatnot. You're seeing these little small bites here and there, and like that internalizes enough. That's how they do it. That's how they're so effective. And like, yeah, if you want to get in the meticulousness of it, we were going to talk about an article saying that millennials, we're going to talk about an article that, you know, millennials are making 20% less than their baby boomer parents, you know? Yeah, the economy, like, altogether is pretty shitty right now for us. Like, we're going to have a huge amount of hurdles to face going forward. Everyone openly admits it. You know, even, like, the teacher I had on here, Franklin Oliver, very intelligent guy. He's been keeping track of, like, a lot of the sort of statistics and stuff like that. He's, like, openly saying, like, you know,
yeah, but the thing is, we don't see careers the way our parents did. To whereas they wanted to make as much money as possible so they could sit, retire, and be happy. We're not as captivated by wealth as the other generations. We kind of like, you give us like a $200,000 house, some money, food on the table, and a family, we'll be good.
Dude, $200,000 house.
Yeah, it's like a little broader house. I'm talking about generalization. So yeah. I'm not thinking of the people who were lucky enough like us to grow up in, you know, private institutions that have higher aspirations.
Yeah.
I'm saying in general, which is not the private institution kid, you know, they're probably like, yeah, that sounds good to me. like, why else do I need more? That'd be great if I did have more. But, like, why, like, there's no incentive there for them, mm-hmm. unlike us. But I just don't see, like, I don't see why people aren't looking more into things. They're just kind of taking it as, like I said, with the, if it's goes viral, if someone says it, it has to be true nowadays just because you see it somewhere.
Yeah.
And it's like, no one's asking questions. So with these employment rates, no one's asking the questions of what's going into these statistics.
What kind They're of quality gonna, jobs? I agree.
Like, what is? Are there more hamburger flippers? Are there more people making
hamburgers? We're losing all those jobs.
Or are there more CEOs? Are there more businessmen? Like, yeah. They'd be different. There is a difference. And I feel like people are afraid to ask that because they just want to hear what they want to hear. And
well, people don't like to, like, there's an aversion that I've noticed with that kind of stuff where it's like people don't like to get into the nitty-gritty stuff. They're more receptive to quick little bite-sized fortune cookie fucking facts. And, you know, it's sad to say that those are the most effective. So if you come out and say, hey, the economy's doing great. You know, hey, unemployment's the lowest it's ever been. Hey, you know, we've got, you know, we're staying out of this war. We're bringing troops home. You know, we're like these little things. Also like, upon looking into, like, if you want to get more nuance into it, you are a part of a very, very small minority of people. Most people just want to see these little facts.
That's what I'm saying.
Based on. I think it's going to be way closer. I think it's going to be way closer than what you're thinking. And I think it's and if they pick the wrong candidate and it's very real danger, it's going to be
back to back.
He's
going to
win. Yeah.
What do you think about the overseas stuff to where the dog killed
I fucking love that shit. I mean, there are some funny points in this process here. Where it's like he photoshops, or some staffer photoshops him giving a fucking dog a medal. Like, that's so ridiculous.
Which also highlights, I hate people like that, just because people praise animals. I don't understand why people like love animals more than humans. I don't understand it.
Oh, you're one of those weird guys that doesn't like dogs, aren't you?
Just in general, I'm saying, like, oof. Like there's some people, like, if I brought in a dog into this nostalgia here, and people are like, oh my god, dog, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But if I wanted to shake your hand, you'd think twice. It doesn't register with me. Same thing with, like, people giving this dog praise for be a good boy and all this shit.
Yeah.
But, like, when Obama killed Bin Laden, like, oh, he didn't do it. The SEAL teams did it. It's like, well,
did kill or cause him to den his vest, right?
Right, but I'm sure he didn't kill him. Where's the praise for the other team? But I'm saying, like, I just think it's funny because Trump was the first to say, like, there's still record tweets of him saying, stop praising Obama. He didn't do it. It was the SEAL team. And now we'll see what he says.
I did about, it.
Yeah.
The dog did
I took
it.
Him down. And I my
raised
dog.
That dog.
Yeah.
I raised that dog.
But yeah, you're right. There are some funny things about his presidency that you could never have, you know, it's a curveball. You know.
I mean, we're living in a time right now that it's historians will spend until humanity is extinct, they will spend the rest of their lives.
So you're saying he's our Lincoln, our Roosevelt?
No, I'm just saying.
Topics of discussion that will always be discussed in school.
Yes, actually, I am. They're going to look at how he came into power, look at what he did, why he did it, why he came. They will look at this and debate this until the heat death of the universe.
I wish I had a time machine so I could, like, sit in a fifth grade class.
We're living in it.
2052.
That's so wild.
Or 3000. See if that, you know, it's being taught.
Like, it's so insane to think about. But, no, I think that. It can either go from a very close race if someone like Yang or Gabbard gets the nomination to a complete blowout if someone like, let's say, Biden gets the nomination.
I think Gabbard will get more full head of steam if she gets the nomination because of the women.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. See, she's a very pretty woman, and I don't think that
she's
will
also,
resonate with
a
lot of women voters, to be honest.
Wasn't she also a medic in the Army?
Yeah.
So she's got that right side of the Republicans loving their Army.
Yeah,
well, I mean, everyone should love the Army. My dad's in the Army. I don't know, my whole family's in the Army. But I'm saying, like,
well, that's what we need.
It's being perceived that the right side is more American and, you know, the bald eagle on my shoulder type. You know, where it's not true. But
well, I think in some aspects, like, it depends on the candidate. That's the thing, is that you need a candidate that is going to reach across the aisle and bring over people from the other side. If you don't do that, you won't win. If you double down on this. Like, for example, that was something that Elizabeth Warren was talking about, like the Medicare for all kind of thing, like with illegal immigrants getting Medicare. On paper, like, if you look at it at a glance, like, of course, in a perfect world, you know, it'd be fantastic. But then you look at the logistics of it. It's the same kind of shit with the gun grabbing stuff. It's like, yeah, in a perfect world, it'd be great if we had no guns, period, and everyone's happy. In the real world, you know, you have someone who is an illegal immigrant.
Should we go back to swords?
I agree. But like
feudal Japan.
That's the thing that I have an issue with this Medicare or Medicaid. I always get the two confused. For all is that, on one hand, I think Medicare should be given to everyone. Period. On the other, I don't really support illegal immigrants getting Medicare, because one, in order to qualify for Medicare as a legal citizen, you have to like make. I think it's something like 160% of the federal poverty level. So you're not making a lot of money. So you'd need Medicare. You know, for an illegal immigrant, you're not paying taxes, period. So there's no verifiable income from you. So you could be making $80,000 a year, non-taxed, and still get Medicare for free.
Oh, kind of like Amazon.
Kind of?
No, they don't. Like you've heard all the yang.
About how, like, Amazon Bezos doesn't pay taxes?
Yeah, Bezos doesn't pay. The richest man in the world doesn't pay taxes.
Yeah, that's all bullshit.
You don't, that's, there's no, fact, no, no,
no, fact no, 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 I'm saying it's bullshit. Oh,
you're saying
it's not fair.
It's not cool. Yeah, but he's a citizen, you know, he's cool because he's providing a service for everyone, so I guess he gets a pass.
I guess.
He's legal, and he has a business, but he's got the most money in the world.
It's
and
not
yet
right.
He's not paying taxes, but then we get mad that this guy. Sure, you should get mad at both. I'm not saying that one's over the other, but you should get mad at both. But people aren't getting mad at both. Like you said, this guy is making $80K, not getting taxed. You're like, what the hell? But you don't say what the hell when a guy has $131 billion net worth, not paying taxes.
I also say what the hell to that.
Yeah, I'm saying, but most people would be like, that's not the point. At least he's American. It's like, no, it's not.
That's definitely not the point. I'm just saying, like, I should be, as a legal citizen of this country, or as maybe an immigrant that came in here legally, I should be able to not be penalized for that in terms of, like, hey, here's an illegal immigrant not paying taxes, period. So they're pocketing all that cash, making $80,000 versus me, a legal immigrant. Making $80,000 when I'm getting taxed, so I'm losing that kind of money. I'm also I can't qualify for Medicare because I'm making too much money. So it's like, and then of course my taxes are going to go up because how are you going to come up with that, you know, $1 trillion or whatever to pay for everyone else's Medicare? So like,
why do you think this doesn't happen in other countries, like this issue?
I don't know. I think that America is great because we are a melting pot and we have a lot of different stuff of different diversity and races and culture. But I think we have doubled down too hard in some areas within terms of, like, you know, letting just anyone into the country. I think that for me, even when I was, you know, like, hardcore, like, liberal, I never was like, yeah, let's just let anyone into the country.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm against immigration. Of course not. But, you know, I think that there is a process that exists. And it's not perfect, but it's better than just letting everyone in the country and not worrying about that sort of stuff. So, like,
there is entitlement to it as well. Like you said, it's not perfect to where the reason why I asked that question to you is because I think Americans all, yes, there's such thing as work visas, but when we want to go overseas, we don't, you know, we want to live over there, buy a vacation home over there, and, you know, mm-hmm. do all that stuff, you know, or maybe just want to live overseas, it's anywhere. We don't have the expectation of what we expect immigrants to do in our country. Mm-hmm. Yes, there's different rules for everywhere, but at the same time, I'm sure there's immigration rules in other countries.
Yeah.
But we don't expect that to be the process to be, you know, when we go to another country, we like, why are you not letting me in? You know, we have that attitude. But when someone comes to our country, it's like, hey, he can't be here. Well, what the difference is, like, and then people have the entitlement of, only people who have been born here, so immigrants who came, let's say, first-generation immigrants, you know, they came here legal, passed a test, all that stuff,
mm-hmm.
and they're living, you know.
Yeah.
They never are the ones that say no immigration.
Right.
Even though you would think they would be the first ones because, hey, if I had to do this, why isn't he doing it? You know, but they don't do that. It's only the people who were born here who had no, like, they don't have a sense of how hard it is to actually become a citizen. And if you gave them that damn citizen test, which we had to do in college— I'll tell you what right now, you're not passing that. No citizen that hasn't studied government or any type of policy within the last 5 years is passing that damn test. So a lot of the 300 million Americans wouldn't be so-and-so Americans because it's just tough, especially if you have to do it. And I tried doing it in another language as well. You're not expected to learn the main English language.
Well, okay,
well so, that's, I mean, well, it only makes sense. You're coming to a, like, if I go to Japan, I have to learn Japanese. Like, well, you know, you don't. There's so many things that they do to cater towards Americans that, you know, you get spoiled with it, I think.
Well, so hang on one second. So are you saying, because I maybe misheard you, are you saying that people who have legally immigrated into this country don't oppose illegal immigration? Or what were you saying?
I'm not going to say all of them, but I'm saying that was part of what I said is where you never hear the ones who are so upset about legal immigration. They're never the ones that came as an immigrant. They're never immigrants that saying this. Or saying
legal
this
or illegal, though? I think that's
legal.
Legal, yeah.
Obviously, the legal ones would be like, yeah, let them in. Like, obviously.
Well, but, like, that's what he said. I know plenty of legal immigrants that have come here from, like, Colombia and that kind of stuff that are like, okay, I went through this process. You need to as well.
So I'm saying, you would assume that, like, you're not assuming. I'm saying, like, one would assume that's just the natural reaction. Like, hey, why did I have to do it if that guy doesn't have to do it, you know?
Right.
But at the same time, they're not the ones that are outspoken to be, get them out of here type of thing, like.
I don't know. I would disagree with that.
And it's fine. You're allowed. Yeah. I mean, you're fine to. But I'm saying I have yet to see public opinion that way. It's always people who were born here who really didn't have to put in any of the work except their parents were here.
Yeah.
You know, that are able to, well, that's my right as an American. Well, okay. They always try to, like, you have these, I don't know, these sayings that you can just throw out because. It's like saying why in an argument or why or because. Because why? Because, you know, that's the type of argument I always see with this. It never really goes forward. It's always.
Well, I think that kind of stuff was put into place because, you know, we can't just let anyone.
Right. And I
because,
agree.
Like, especially.
I just think you should tone it down a little bit.
I think there could be. Yeah, I think
could
there
you
could
name
be
all the presidents? I mean, sure, that should be easy if you study it. But I'm saying right now, could you name every single president that has been in office?
Well, no. No. Not. But if that's I knew I had to take a test about it, though, I would. Study that.
Right. But then you have to do it in another language. And on top of that, you have to do it in a certain time limit. And that's not the only question on it. That's what I'm saying. It's like a 3-hour test, you know, and you can only take it, like, if you fail it, you like, have to go like another couple years before you can take it again.
Yeah.
It's just that there's a reason. Like, if you made it a little easier, right? I'm not saying, like, you could say this for school standards too. But I'm saying if you made it a little easier, then you could have that line of saying what we're saying. Then you could say, hey, if you can't pass this test then, or you can't do what you need to do to become an American, sure, get them out. But right now, it's kind of like an impossible – not impossible, but it's a very tough task to do. And people are acting like it's like, oh, just go do the paperwork. So sometimes they don't even get to your paperwork for another 4, 5, 6 years. Maybe you need to be in America now.
It's a long progress or process.
And there's millions of people who want to do it.
Yeah.
And people are acting like they're going to the DMV. Just getting your license plate, like it's just another day. Oh, it's going to take me 3 hours. I should be there. You know, I should be American by 10. You know, it's not. But I don't have a dog in the fight. Like,
yeah.
If anyone thinks that, like, oh, I'm talking for someone. Like, no, I'm not. But I just think it's interesting that no one asks these questions. No one asks themselves. They just want to go out there and have nothing to back what they say. They just kind of want to point fingers. Like, you shouldn't be here. I don't know. I think
a lot of the media gives certain spotlights to different people in that regard. I don't think you see too many legal immigrants getting platforms on, let's say, ABC.
But I have a question. I have a question then. Yeah. I mean, so right now you would say, Alex Hall, you can only speak for yourself. You'd say, if they're legal, don't let them in.
Wait. If they're legal, don't let them in?
Illegal.
If they're illegal, don't. Okay.
Would that be true?
I would say if they haven't gone through the process, there is no way for us to vet who these people are.
Okay. You know? So let's say they go through the process.
Yeah.
And they pass it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Then what do you say?
Yeah. Amen. Absolutely. Amen. Yeah.
But don't you see that the issue is that this standardized process is so convoluted and tough that people are going to just go bypass it? That's the reason why. If it was something more universally graspable, I don't know, that's not a word, but you could grasp it easier, more people would go the straight route, right?
Well, why do you think it's so hard?
But then when people do that, then you'd be okay with it because they're passing the test, but the ones who don't.
But then again,
like a double-edged, you know,
but so you take some guy who's very deeply involved with MS-13, the Mexican drug cartels,
And all he has to do is just act like the perfect guy. And,
well, no, but like he just goes in because they do background checks and that kind of stuff. But if he immigrates, if he gets in illegally, you know, we now have those kind of people running around in like Texas, which they do, Arizona, which they do, mm-hmm. Southern California, which they do. That's kind of the main, I think, fear and worry of that. Like if you see like a woman and a child trying to get in, okay, like let's not.
No,
they're probably not going to be like. Statistically, they're probably not.
I mean,
not
you just saw what happened at the border. Like, they like, separated
the nine
them.
Mormons. Did like, you read that story?
They separated all of them.
Well, there was a nine Mormon U.S. citizens were killed by a Mexican drug cartel. Thing. Okay. They're from Utah, like, yesterday.
And that's terrible. Yeah. But at the same time, we still have Americans doing that every day.
Yeah.
So, you're well, actually, so I mean, you're not, people are acting like they're canceling out all evil if they're not letting, granted, I'm not saying let Mexican cartels in. That is not what I'm saying.
It's not your platform.
That is not what I'm saying. I'm not going to get sponsored by the court. But I'm just saying, like, people were acting like that's the end-all be-all of, okay, we did it. They can't come in. Now what? Now we have to deal with what we're all facing. You know, we mm-hmm. still have to come back and look in the mirror. And we still got these mass shootings. We still got these guys in the streets and these gangs and all this stuff. It's just still, it's going to happen everywhere, mostly.
Well, I think the core of the issue is that there is no perfect solution with this stuff. I mean, it'd be easy to say, yes, just let all the good people in, keep all the bad people out. That's a fairy tale ideology and it's fucking retarded. But like the reality of the situation is, as of right now, and I don't think in the real world that we live in, there is no ideal solution that we get as many good people in as possible and keep as many bad people out. We have this system of checks and balances in place right now. It is not perfect. It probably is overdue for a rehaul, and I would be all for that.
But no one wants to. With anything in this country, no one wants to ever rehaul it. Like, we honestly should rehash
I think you,
the
there
amendments.
Are people that do. I think. What?
There's some things in there that if you go through them, we should be able to at least revise and edit some of those things in there.
That would be interesting to see. I'd be open to hearing that argument, but
I just think I'm not saying like I'm just saying revisiting them. Times change. Things, the forefathers put down great rules, right? But they couldn't see Apple coming into the world. They couldn't see
Facebook
data encryption. They couldn't see, you know, mass shootings everywhere. I mean, I don't know what their life, but they had a lot of shooting. But the same, they had musket guns. You know, like, it wasn't, you know, ARs just coming out. The word work, because you can get them just because you can get them. I'm saying, like, there's certain things that should be looked over. I'm not saying completely changed. I'm saying you should at least go back, look over them, have a discussion about it, get more people involved. Doesn't have to just be the government. Maybe get the people involved, popular vote, something. People act like that's not allowed to happen. It is democracy. We can get the people involved. You know, it doesn't have to be the elected officials, just them. But see what people think about the amendments. You'll be surprised to hear what people have to say. And I think they should just, I'm not saying they should get a complete overhaul, just write new ones. You know, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying, like, there's some things in there that you'll probably read, like, oh, yeah, that's kind of weird. Like, why would they say that? Because it's a different time, you know? And now we have to make rules for this time. And I'm sure after us, there will be new rules for that time. But until that happens, I mean, I don't know what I feel about these type of discussions, because there's certain things that you can't get around, like you said, because you know we know it's flawed, but yet we don't want to do anything about it because we have this such reverence for the past. Well,
I think there are people trying to address border issues. I think that that's a, you know, I think that for better or for worse, Donald Trump is taking action to try and address, and whether that's the right way or the wrong way, you know,
who knows? You could add a new amendment that
maybe
deals with that.
But I think that the older I get, the more pragmatic I tend to become with this sort of stuff, where I realize that the world is not this like Disney tale, fairy tale sort of thing. Where, well, it's like, you know, okay, they're.
Grew up Peter Pan, Count Chocula.
We can't just let every single person that wants to come to this country into this country. We have a system in place and it's not perfect. It's not, you know, we need to look at it and go for an overhaul. But that's how I've always kind of felt with that sort of stuff. But especially with.
Please.
Well,
like
say
a smile on their face.
If they say please, well, we'll consider it. They slip me like a 20 or something.
20.
All right.
Oh, can't do it. You're a slave owner.
Yeah. But I think that's kind of the problem with, you know, the political climate that we live in today, where it's like some people can't divorce themselves from this left versus right thinking and like be like, okay, well, if you don't support this, then you're obviously, you know, a conservative. Or if you don't support this, then you're obviously, like, you know, I'm kind of all over the spectrum with some of this stuff and, like, just based on my own life experiences. And I think it's good to be able to have these sort of conversations and not get at each other's throats about it because, you know, oftentimes I don't think anyone sets out to do evil. I think it's a lot of it. It's paved. The way to hell is paved with good intentions or whatnot. And so I try and look at that lens, except for this ABC motherfuckers. But
yeah, they can burn it.
Yeah, they can burn it. Shit. No. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's interesting. And, you know, I think by having these kind of conversations, we work towards having a better solution. And it may be uncomfortable at times, but I think it's an important, you know, way to kind of go about that sort of stuff. But let's see here. We're going to read emails, but it looks like we're pretty much out of time
there
here.
There was one something I did want to ask you about.
Yeah.
I just found out about Clear TSA. And what that is it's like going through, you know, TSA at the airport.
Yeah.
And just putting like your finger and then your picture pops up, your information, you just walk on through like that stuff. What do you think about the way that this is going? Like you pay a monthly subscription.
Yeah.
So you're putting the money in and then now your information is now just so you can have an easier way through the airport. And all your information that starts the fingerprint. That's what gets me. It's the fingerprint. And you can just walk all through it. Apparently it's like 50% faster and, you know, you still get the same airplane everyone else is getting on. But I just think it's interesting.
For now, anyway.
Like if you're not a celebrity and everyone already doesn't know who you are, why are you getting it? All your information is now in another location that you don't know what's going on with it.
Yeah. I don't know. I've always been very conservative with giving out information, especially with that kind of stuff. Like because you don't know. I mean, they sell that stuff. Like, I think there was, like, some sort of, like, scandal where the BMV got caught, like, selling their information, like, people's information. Like, the own BMV. Like, that's insane. But, yeah, I don't know, dude. I think it's stuff is inevitable as the next few years approach. I mean, we have the Neuralink with Elon Musk entering, like, preliminary testing next year, which
doesn't
is
he wanna, like,
terrifying.
Have like a pod that like drives across America.
Oh, I don't know.
Like,
I'm sure.
Like 4 hours you can get to LA to New York.
Just like, oh my god!
Like some type of movie. I think he's working on like a train like that or something.
He's working on a million different things. He is like the closest thing to Batman, Bruce Wayne, that we think we have. Like he's
without the cool factor.
Yeah, without the cool factor. But I don't know. I think he's pretty cool.
We'll see what he rolls out with.
We are living in a very exciting time.
Scary, too.
Very scary, but, you know, scary can be exciting.
Right.
And
can make you a little... can give you a little...
yeah, it's all of it's interesting, and I think the most important thing is to be able to have these kind of conversations and stuff like that. What I really liked about this Epstein stuff is that you have far-left people like Tim Pool and other, like, big... left liberal voices joining hands and locking arms with like the right people
side.
Like
enough is enough.
Steven Crowder's like, hey, you know, whether we think it's Clinton or Trump or whatever, let's investigate the fucking monster that Epstein is and let's acknowledge that, you know, these networks are kind of hiding this sort of stuff or burying it, which I think that's cool. I think that it's not, you know, the big war is not a left versus right thing. It's more like it's a class warfare. it's like the rich versus the poor.
No, there are no heroes in this. We're all no heroes. Not a hero.
Not a hero.
Not a hero.
So we'll have to read the email stuff next time. But I did want to give a shout out to Nicole, who did write an email to me a few weeks ago that was very touching. And I hope you're doing well, Nicole. And yeah, we wish you all the best. So... you can reach me at Alexander D. Hall on Twitter.
Big old D.
And you can write in to contact@thedigitalfireside.com for emails that we will read on air or leave a comment on the YouTube video. And we will do our best to address them. And Luke, where can people find you?
You can find me at IndieChubs with two B's at Instagram and Twitter, same handle.
Mm-hmm.
And you can check us up on Instagram. We're going to continue that page. You know, we've got some more stuff to upload now for the Digital Fireside. You can go to the Digital Fireside on Instagram as well.
Yeah.
So we're going to get that posting up again and, you know, keep it rolling.
I'm looking Yeah, I'm looking forward to season two. We're going to kind of dive more deep into politics a little bit and talk about some stuff because we'll have more stuff to talk about with the constant gaffes of the DNC, and hopefully we're getting some kind of candidate to arise from it all. So thanks for tuning in, guys, and we will be back with you next time.